Hey there, Ryan. I have reviewed your Module 3 course learning activities assignment, the draft of your learning activities, and I am going to give you feedback on that assignment in this audio podcast. Overall, you have done a fantastic job in outlining the activities for your course and some of the details and instructions. You've even labeled some things, and I can really see where you're going with the course and how you have incorporated and implemented some of the things that you're learning in our class in the design of this class. So I was very pleased to see your progress and was very happy with some of the ways that you have decided to approach things and the language that you have chosen to use to describe certain things. I'm going to go through module by module and give you feedback on each module, some suggestions, some questions, some comments, and then I will look forward to seeing how you implement these learning activities in the shell of your course to actually make them real and functioning in your course shell. So starting with module one, which is called Getting to Know You, I really love the way that you have labeled the modules. It's very engaging and understandable, and I want to make sure to reiterate to you that you keep that in mind for the labeling of other elements in your course and the titles of things, and once you begin to transfer these activities and make them into actual documents or labels that that kind of form the structure of your course in your shell, keep in mind how important how you label things are, and to carry that forward from your from the experience you had in designing the module titles, to carry that forward into everything that you label in your shell. They should be as engaging and convey as much informational, contextual, instructional value to the student as possible, so that at a glance the student can from multiple levels get information about you and your course and how you've chosen to design it. Those labels act as advanced organizers for students and convey a tremendous amount, have the potential to convey a tremendous amount of information to the student, and so you want to leverage that feature as effectively and efficiently as possible, and so pay close attention to how you label. So the first module is the Getting to Know You module. They're going to create a course profile. You're going to provide a class contract, and they're going to you say that they're going to critique three things about the contract, and then they're going to participate. So it looks like some words are missing, copy and paste into discussion form, critique at three things. I think you mean at least three things. And then you say participate in the classroom contract. I think you mean in the discussion about the classroom contract. And so, make sure that you edit and make sure that everything is making sense. So I have a couple of questions about this. Do you have to use the word critique? And I mean, maybe that makes sense, but I'm suggesting that maybe it doesn't. And I'm thinking more about framing it a little bit differently and asking them to co-create it with you so that you produce sort of a first draft with a couple of elements, whatever you have in your contract, and then ask them to review and edit it and make suggestions to it and maybe add a couple of things that they would like to see in the contract. So giving them the opportunity to contribute to the way that they will be you know, whatever standards you're holding them to in that contract. And so it's kind of just framing it a little differently from you presenting them the contract and giving them the opportunity to critique it, to you presenting them a contract and giving them the opportunity to co-create it. So it's nuanced, but I think it's actually a little bit more positive and empowers the students a little bit more, thinking that they have some opportunity for some say of how they're going, what, you know, what standards they're going to be held to, or how they're going to be assessed or evaluated, whatever it is that's in that contract. So give that some thought and see if it. That's my mail. See if it makes sense for you. You can still really retain the nature of the activity. Pretty much exactly the way you have it. So instead of critique three things, you could say edit or refine or add three new things. You know what I mean, to the contract. So then you're going to have them have a discussion about the contract. And you say, discuss with your classmates the expectations for the year. Discuss what your thoughts and concerns are. So you, throughout this this assignment, use the word discuss. Discuss with your classmates such and such, X, Y, or Z. So my recommendation to you is that you get rid of that word. It doesn't mean anything. And in fact, it kind of helps to obfuscate or misrepresent activity. So just because you use the word discuss doesn't make it a discussion. In fact, often when you say discuss X, Y, and Z and compare it to A, B, and C, that's actually not a discussion. That is a written assignment. It's an essay, and there's no interaction and no, you know, collaboration or engagement between students on it at all. It's simply one person's, you know, dump of their thoughts, which is fine, but it's not a discussion. So I would reframe your questions that start with the word discuss to be something else. So you actually need a question. Where's the question mark? You need a question to initiate a discussion, and something that really is going to engage the students in authentic interaction. And so that question needs to be crafted finely. And it's not easy to design discussion questions that are actually going to be effective in soliciting student interaction, or in engendering student interaction. So you need to put a little bit of work in that. You could say, what are your thoughts and concerns for this school year? Question mark. You could say, what are your expectations for the year? Question mark. But what then is the question that gets them to talk about it with each other? So I'm going to let you mull that over and see if there's something that you can think of that's going to make sense for you. You're then going to have them complete a survey, and you say, into an online journal. It's hard for me to tell, based on what you have here, what is what. I think that I understand, but I'm not entirely sure. I think that the discussion question, it might be that the discussion question is what you have in italic after reading the contract. What are your thoughts and concerns about algebra? That might be part of your discussion activity, or it might be part of the online journal. I'm not sure. And then you say, in this discussion, you'll talk about your thoughts. Hang on, I got to get the phone. Okay, I'm back. So the online journal, it says that you're going to have one in each module area and you're going to discuss critical thinking questions. So I'm not really sure. Is that where you're going to have them talk about their thoughts and concerns for the course? Is this your first course? What are your goals? How will you achieve these goals? Do you like working with classmates? What are your concerns about working with classmates? I'm not sure if that is what's associated with the online journal. And then you say create an initial response and then respond to at least three classmates' posts. So I'm unclear about how they're supposed to respond, and if that is going to be an authentic interaction. So, it is there something in what the students are going to produce that is going to authentically engage the other students in some kind of an authentic response? So, how will they what are your goals for the course? To learn math, how are you going to achieve these goals? By doing the work. Do you like working with classmates? No. What are some of your concerns about working with classmates in math? Some people do the work and some people don't. What do I respond to that if I'm reading that? So it's possible, based on what the instructions are that you provide, what the models are that you provide, but you might want to have an additional question, that would prompt discussion. So, do you agree or disagree with in your responses? So create an initial response to this and then respond to three of your classmates' posts saying why you agree or disagree with, some specific issue. I mean, you just need to think through what our students going to produce and is that going to be sufficient or are they just, to create actual authentic discussion or interaction? And if not, what could I add to the instructions, to the discussion question, to the context that will provide them with some guidance in terms of how they are supposed to approach creating their responses to their classmates? So just mull that over. Keep that in mind. You say there's a survey, so I'm wondering if it's actually a survey or if it's just those open-ended questions. I was going to say you might want to ask them about why they think math is important to learn in their real life, how they think that algebra will help them in real life, what they think that they can use algebra for to help them in real life. I don't know. Later on in your later modules, you do a fantastic job of associating the study of algebra to their real life. So maybe it's enough that you don't have to address it here. I'm just thinking out loud here and trying to see if there's a way in this preliminary discussion that you can get them to, articulate some feeling that they have and that then it can turn into some kind of an interaction that the students are likely to engage in. Or be interested in engaging in. So anyway, I'll let you think about it and see what you come up with. So in Module 2, Expressions, they're going to create and simplify expressions. They're going to watch a video. They are going to participate in class discussion and they're going to answer their journal. They're going to submit a journal post. Your questions have to do with having them explain which steps in the process have given them most difficulty and what they could do better, which I think is really a good question in helping them to make their thinking visible to you. You'll be able to really diagnose misperceptions and give some good guidance and feedback based on what they talk about. So they're going to actually translate the expression, simplify the expression, substitute in given values. That's part of the assignment, I guess. You say complete critical thinking questions, and I don't know really what those are. So it's hard to give you feedback on what those are. You do have in your second week another discussion, and I think I might have mentioned to you before, it might work because this is really a blended course and it's younger students, but generally discussions take a full 2 weeks to mature. But since it's not a fully online course and it's younger students, it might work. I'm just mentioning it because, you know, I just want to make sure that you're aware that in order to get a discussion to be completed within a week, you're going to have to do a lot of facilitation to make sure that the students come in when they're supposed to and do the stuff that they're supposed to within that time frame. I don't see mention of rubrics, so I'm hoping that you're going to have a rubric to help guide the students in their interactions and whatever, you know, also with the journaling activity. You should have rubrics and also be able to produce some models or examples or exemplars so that students can see better what it is that you are looking for in addition to the rubric. So the rubric sort of gives them the options and the parameters and the specifics of what you're looking for, and then the example is an example of a high quality post or contribution, and so they can actually see, you know, an example of what the rubric would evaluate as a high quality post or contribution. All right, so in Module 3, it looks like they are going to look at some videos that then they will be practiced, stuff that they will then practice in the classroom, which I love. You're flipping the classroom. It's very cool. They're going to discuss processes with their classmates, and they're going to talk about different methods, and then they're going to do their journal. So I like that, you know, here your discussion question, I think, is what they know. They have to identify to you what they know about solving for unknown. And what I love about, some of the activities that you have or some of these discussions that you have is that you're, as I said earlier, that you're bringing in, helping them to draw the connections between what they're learning and how it applies to their real life. So you're saying here exactly that. Discuss how you would apply this to something that interests you in your real life. And talk about how you can actually see algebra in real life. I mean, it's just brilliant. I love it. It is going to add this connective tissue to your course that makes the context of, you know, gives context to the study of algebra, that makes it real to them, that draws a specific line from what they're abstractly kind of looking at in class to something very concrete and specific in real life, and it's just fabulous. I love it. All right, let's go on to relationships. They are going to do equations that have unknowns to unknowns. They're going to use graphing methods. They're going to learn about parent functions and how to transform them. Again, they're going to look at some videos, and then they're going to come back to the classroom to do the practicing or supplemental activities. They're going to discuss online real life applications of proportions and variations and their concerns about graphing and ways that they can improve their learning. I love that. You're really having them do some metacognitive work, thinking about how they're learning, what they're learning, how they know they're learning, and how they could improve their learning. It's really very good. You are making your learning visible to me in the articulation of your activities. I can see how you are attempting to successfully to interpret some of the stuff that you've learned in ETAP 640, maybe not exclusively in ETAP 640, but certainly these are topics that are central and important to our course, and so I love seeing them represented in your course. So using videos about real-life applications of proportion, discuss with your classmates some real-life applications for you. So what's the question? Ask a question there. Why do these applications matter to you and what you learned? You know what I mean? Like, ask a question where you can actually put a question mark on it. I wish I knew what the critical thinking questions were. I'm still kind of like not feeling like I understand completely which are the discussion questions and which are the critical thinking questions. And I think one of them is not there. So in week two here, you say using the learning activity about graphing, discuss with your classmates the concerns you have about graphing. So here you would say, what are your concerns about graphing? Search the internet for some methods that could help you perform better. Copy the link. And I think that means, you know, share the link in your post, right? All right, let's move on to module five, forms of relationships, proportional and non-proportional relationships. So in this module, you will learn about different forms of relationships, and you will talk about that with your classmates. You will watch videos on basic forms and applications. You will talk about the application of each form with your classmates. You will also discuss which form you value more and why you feel that way. You will also answer some critical thinking questions about topics. So you have flipped from talking directly to a student. You're kind of mixing it up here. So get back to talking to an individual student. At any point in time, you're talking to an individual, so make sure that your language reflects that. Again here, the students will be assigned, no, you will be assigned videos, blah, blah, blah. You will interact in an online setting. I would stay away from the word discuss. I would call it interaction. It's hard to people to think about having discussions, I think, in math in particular, and you need to make sure, in how you frame things and how you state things, that you're being transparent and clear. And so, anyway, I would recommend using the word interaction instead of discuss, and framing everything from the perspective of addressing an individual student. Use the videos to discover the applications of proportional relationships. So how do they represent that? What is the question there? What is it? What is the output that you are looking for? You will determine one application that matters to you and discuss with your classmates. So, yeah, again, frame that better. Choose one application that matters to you and, tell your classmates why this application matters to you. And then, what is the question that they're going to discuss with their classmates? So let's say I choose X, Y, or Z application. I present it to my classmates. I send them a link to it or whatever. And then I come in, a different student, and read that. What am I supposed to say? I like what you did there? Or, what is it that you're asking them to actually talk about? Something that might be able to help you you know, identify what your actual question is to go back to your course level learning objectives, break that down into module level learning objectives, and then frame the activities to make sure that you have one for each of the module level activities. And so when you get to the discussion question or the journal question, you understand what it is that the learning objective is that's associated with that activity, and then you can frame the question so that it addresses that. So I'm going to let you think about that and see what you can come up with. In week two, you're having them actually answer a question: are the birthdays in our classroom a proportional or non-proportional relationship? They're going to use videos to support their argument, and then they're going to discuss with their classmates why you think or think so. So instead of saying discuss with the others, I would say, rephrase that so that it is an actual question and eliminate the word discuss. And then how do they get access to the birthdays in the classroom, or is that not relevant? Is it just abstract? And is it a yes or no question? Is the answer the birthdays are proportional or the birthdays are not proportional? I don't know enough about math to like actually respond to this, but I'm just not sure that, instead of you identifying our birthdays in our classroom proportional, what if you left that open and said, give an example of something that is proportional, I don't know enough about what that means, proportional or non-proportional, to say. I'm just trying to see how you could make it more open-ended, because it seems to me that that particular question, it's either one or the other, and it's very specific. Everyone's going to have either the right answer or the wrong answer, and they're either going to be able to support, I think. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I just don't know enough about this. So anyway, I'm going to defer to you on that. Let's see, here we are in Module 6. It's about systems. A system of equation is two equations put together, and they have to use operations to solve for x and y. So here, there's stuff here in this at a glance. As a class, we would like to utilize as much of class time as possible so that students will learn through the flip model. That is irrelevant to your student, right? I mean, you're talking either to yourself or to your administrator there. So, rephrase this from think about, Johnny or Susie who is in your class and say stuff to that particular person, something that's going to be relevant to them. They don't really care that it's called the flipped model or that it's called blended learning or that it's whatever. They just want to know, what to do to get the grade to pass and or how it relates, if at all, to their real life, right? So they just want to know what they got to do, and hopefully they're engaged and interested and can actually do it, right? So keep that in mind when you're writing your instructions. And this is not about me. This is not about you. This is about Johnny or Susie. So the students will be assigned videos. You will be assigned a video. You will be told. You will be told that you need to watch videos so that we can practice. I'm not really sure about that sentence. You will discuss with your classmates the processes. You will discuss various models or methods for solving systems and choose which one you prefer. Don't call it a lecture. Just watch the assigned video. Participate in the interaction if that it's in the classroom. So they're going to use the classroom practice, the online video, and an internet search, what's the most comfortable way? Yeah, that's a good question. That's a personal preference. What concerns do you have is the question. How is that a discussion, right? So that's a question to an individual. What concern do you have? Question mark. And then they'll have an individual answer. Something else needs to prompt actual discussion. Do you have any suggestions for based on concerns that others in your class have articulated? Do you have any suggestions for them to help them with those concerns? That then will prompt an interaction. Discuss how much you hate your teacher for making you talk about math. I love this question. Oh my God. I so totally love this question. What about, you know, giving them the option to present their hatred in creative, funny, and innovative ways? So, for example, what if they wanted to write a rap, or a poem, or draw a picture, or use you know, one of the online animating tools to do a little skit? I'm wondering if it's possible for you to open that up to have them, be allowed to be creative based on things that they have skills in or know or do. You know, they could do a photo collage using Glockster, or they could do a photo, an animated photo presentation using Animoto, or they could do a little animated cartoon using Doink, or they could, you know, like I said, just write a poem, or they could do a YouTube. They could do some sort of a little satire, depending on, you know, who they are and what their skills are. There's all manner of ways that they could do it. So you could give them a little bit of flexibility to play with this question, and maybe with some others in the class. I don't know. You know, like when you're asking them how they use math in real life, it doesn't have to be something that's written. It could be that they demonstrate that in some other way. The point is to help them draw those connections, not that they write something out. So anyway, play around with that in your mind. Love, love, love that question. Totally made me smile. So here we are in Inequal or Equal. They're going to do some videos. Obviously, this is a blended or flipped classroom, so you're seeing them face to face. This is all supplementing their classroom experience and activities. They're going to discuss differences between inequalities and equalities, differences in signs, meanings, and their uses, talking about applications, and they're going to do their journal. I love the question why we use inequalities and how they play a key role in real life applications. Rephrase that in the form of a question and make sure that there is a question that they can actually interact on. Because many of these that you have really is eliciting from the student their opinion or their experience that's personal, but there's nothing to guide them in taking that further than simply presenting their personal opinion or their experience or their thoughts into an actual conversation with others in the class. So don't forget to keep that in mind. Your last module is the closure. So they're going to talk about their feelings, about what they learned in the course. They're going to do a questionnaire, which is good. I love that you are asking them to reflect on what they wish they had done differently. That is a very cool question. And you're asking them what they felt about what they really learned. That turn of phrase in this particular section is very good. I want to make sure that you go to the class manual and look up descriptive feedback or culminating activity and look at the instrument that I have presented there for you to adopt or adapt as your end of course questionnaire. The purpose of soliciting descriptive feedback from the students is so that you can have, right at the end of the course, when it's all fresh in everybody's minds, really detailed information and feedback from the students on their experience in your course. And so it's not enough to say, what did you like about the course? What didn't you like about the course? You really have to ask some very specific questions, and so it's different than a course evaluation. It's different than a faculty or teacher evaluation. It really is just between you and the students. It's not for your administrators or for anyone else. It's just for you, so that then you can look at that feedback and ask, you know, and review it and decide whether or not anything that comes out from it is relevant to you as you review, revise, and improve your course for the next time you're going to teach it. You know, obviously you need to calibrate feedback from students, and not everything that they say is something that you necessarily want to immediately change in your course, but in order to make those kinds of decisions, you need to get really good feedback, and in order to do that, you have to ask really specific questions, so take a look at that. What I don't see here at the end of your course is your class community area represented. I don't see the spot where you're going to have the students have an open place where they can interact with each other outside the context of the course. I don't see a place. You might have a parent corner for information for the parents. You might have a suggestion box that's open throughout the whole course to pull in, you know, random feedback and suggestions. I don't see talk to the professor areas. I don't see ask a question areas represented. I don't see where you're going to post your announcements or any, you know, class materials or paper. And so I'll wait to see how you represent that, and maybe you have plans for that already, and so I'll wait to see how you represent that when you lay all this out in your course shell. Overall, Ryan, you have done a fantastic job with your course. I couldn't be more pleased to see how this is shaping up. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this ends up being you know, transferred sort of physically into your course shell, and I am really looking forward to seeing that you have a great start here with this assignment, and so I just I'm very happy to see how you have made your thinking and your learning visible to me, and where you're going with this course. Well done.